This is Wine with Friends. Grab your glasses and get ready to pop that cork. It's time to catch up.
There we go.
Well, hello, my friend.
Hello, long lost friend. How are thou?
Oh my God. Oh, I'm, you know, surviving. That's about where I am.
Fair enough. Well, I'm in a similar place. We are finally at a date that I have been looking forward to for a very, very, very long time. The last day of 2020.
Praise Jesus. I thought we would never get here.
For real.
This year was 7 years long.
It's true. It's been 2020 for at least a decade.
Oh my God. This is the longest year of my whole life. It was shitty.
This was a shitty year. This was a real, real rough one. It is not how I expected the year to really go.
This was supposed to be a really good year for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, you especially. It's been so weird. So I guess we thought we'd maybe just kind of like talk through the experience of 2020 and the highs and the very low lows.
Maybe
suck some of this poison out so we can go into 2021 with some more positive energy that I lost sometime back around February.
I think so too. Every once in a while, I get little pockets of positive energy and I'm like, oh, just kidding.
So, know what's really funny? I thought this would be a good place to start off this conversation. I cannot remember what the fuck I was doing before March. March is when everything shut down, and it's when I went down to Florida to meet up with Jerry so that we could, take care of his mom for a couple of weeks from surgery, and then we came back up and we're into quarantine, and it's like, I literally cannot remember what was happening.
I sometimes do remember what I was doing, but then I think it was like last year or the year before, because it feels like 9,000 years ago, and so I forget that, in fact, that was this calendar year. So, yeah, like I started off my year, I was in Florida for New Year's because we were staying at Pompano Beach and having a grand old time. And then we drove back up here and Steve's mom came with us and stayed with us for a bit. And then, I don't remember. Things happened. And then it was quarantine.
We had
an engagement party. That was this year.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I had my first wedding anniversary. I remember that back in January.
Oh, sort that's of vaguely. True. Yeah, you did have that. Uh-huh.
Sitting on my desk with the present Jerry bought me. It was a Hogwarts fake quill.
Oh, nice.
It's supposed to be anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I will admit, using that throughout quarantine has given me more joy than I probably should by all rights.
I know. It's kind of hilarious, the things that bring us joy during the quarantine.
It's true. Other than that, I legitimately don't remember. For me, 2020 really started in mid-March, and Jerry's mom, Jane, had a knee replacement surgery, and he, because he's the good son, went down to Florida at the very beginning of March and was there for 2 weeks without me, when his mom had the surgery and was taking care of her, and then I flew down halfway through March. And I actually remember, I had forgotten this until this morning, I changed my ticket. I came down to Florida a couple of days early because my office went into quarantine. I was like, well, why the hell am I just sitting here? I looked online and I could change my ticket for free. It's like, screw it. So I just went down there. And then while we were down there, I remember having 2 weeks of panic attacks wondering, are we going to be barred from coming home?
Right. Well, yeah, because no one knew what was going on then. Yeah,
exactly. So we went down there and we really just, stayed with her and helped her recover a little bit more. And then at the end of the month came back here and we've been here basically ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything feels so long ago, even like thinking about how we dealt with quarantine at the beginning and how that changed and like where we are now is just, it feels like so long ago. I mean, when we started quarantine, we were like, yeah, we're going to work out every day. And so we were working out, we were going for hikes and not anymore.
No, I mean, it's also cold out. So like, that's not helpful. But like, even when it was nice out over the summer, like I had all these aspirational moments of, I have all this time now. And you know what actually, I think part of it for me, I mean, I'd actually be interested to know if this was true for you too. I didn't find being in quarantine gave me more time.
No.
If anything, it blurred some already deeply blurry lines about personal life and work life, and I thought giving up, I had an hour commute either way because I was riding the metro to and from work. And I thought getting that 2 hours back would be every day would be, something that I could repurpose. And I did repurpose it. I got an extra hour of sleep, and then I worked an extra hour every day. It's like not the repurposing I expected.
No. So it depended for me. Like, I went through phases because my summers are usually much lighter at work anyway because schools are not in session. And so I don't have a whole population of people that usually are calling me and asking me to do things and help them with stuff. So my summers are lighter. So this summer, I guess I had more time, but I always have more time in the summer, you know, like to get things done during the day. You know, when at work, like there's more things like phone calls that I need to make for personal stuff that I can do anyway. So I'm not sure that was dramatically different. But I agree. I don't necessarily get anything more done except my laundry gets done in a more timely fashion because I work
for me
10 feet away from the washing machine. So I will put laundry in. That's about it. My kitchen gets cleaned more frequently, but that's also because it gets used more frequently. So, you know.
Yeah.
I have eaten better lunches. My lunches have been much improved in 2020.
I hear that. I've had the opposite experience, and it's funny because I have less downtime during the workday now. You know, during the workday before, people would just pop at my desk, it'd be a 5-minute conversation, and we move on. And now those 5-minute conversations happen by appointment. And I'm like literally constantly rolling video calls, almost constantly. And I still get like the random calls during an hour when I'm trying to work on email or things like that. Yeah, I'm on average probably on video calls 6 hours a day.
That's disgusting. That's not my work day generally. It depends. Some days are like that for me where it's just one after the other, after the other, after the other. Or I'm doing trainings, which is a solid like 2.5 to 3 hours where I'm just on one call. So I've had days like that, but most of my days, I actually have a lot more fluid kind of free time, which I sort of enjoy. I have liked working at home. There are days that I don't love it. Like training online is not my favorite thing in the world. I'd much rather be face-to-face with people. But generally speaking, I enjoy the virtual work day for the most part. I get to eat lunch with my husband every day. You know, I don't get to do that if I'm in the office.
That's fair.
I give myself the break. Like I add up all of the time that I would normally be just kind of dilly-dallying in the office, talking to people or like having 5 minutes. And I actually give myself a lunch now. And when I was in the office, I would usually eat at my desk while I was doing other things.
Yeah.
So I actually take a lunch now, which I didn't used to do. So in that regard, I enjoy the work from home. I wouldn't mind having some sort of hybrid work from home sort of thing after this.
Yeah. You know, I will say for all the bitching that I'm doing right now, because that's like my mode of life at the moment.
yeah, I hear you.
I do prefer the work from home. I really do not miss the metro at all. I'm really kind of a little bit struggling because, you know, as you know, I work in an environmental space, and the idea of driving to work every day in this, you know, in the DC area makes me feel very, you know, anti-environment. But the metro is so gross, and it's so like not a place where I want to be right now. You know, like,
yeah, we bought it. We bought a second car because Steve was not going to ride the metro to work because he had to go to the school for a long time. And because he was teaching virtually, but then was at the school, and then they went hybrid. So then he was actually with students, and then we had him stop going hybrid for a bit. But there's other reasons for that we'll get into at another time. But So we bought a second car for that purpose. But it was
exactly,
at least it was a hybrid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's so you helped. but yeah, I much prefer the ability to kind of, you know, sleep in and roll out of bed, and I have, you know, I feel even though I'm still really super busy, you know, I appreciate the flexibility that work from home allows me. You know, like I don't worry anymore about like running out and grabbing a package that somebody doesn't, you know, steal from the front desk or you know, all these other things. It's easier to schedule a doctor's appointment because I'm like by my car and I don't have to, you know, budget in the 45-minute metro ride home before the car
I've been
ride.
To the doctor so many times since quarantine started. Oh my God. And it has nothing to do with COVID, just, you know, audience. But geez. I mean, some of it preventative wise, but then also because I have fallen apart in the year 2020. So like literally my tooth was falling apart. Like I had to go to the dentist a whole bunch of times. It's been a mess.
2020 is the year I figured out that the how screwed up the health system in the U.S. is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never
also
really,
how good my insurance is.
I never appreciated why people yell about healthcare so much in this country. You know, like I was always supportive of it, and I kind of abstractly knew. You know, I've had family members that had trouble getting insurance for various reasons that the Affordable Care Act helped fix. I can appreciate all of that, but I didn't like emotionally comprehend why this stuff was so important and why so much government focus needs to be on the health of its citizens until this year.
Oh, well, yeah, it became real, real clear with COVID, like really clear.
And it wasn't even just necessarily COVID. It's the way that an event like COVID stressed and basically broke the healthcare system in our country versus other countries.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a stark difference between how this has affected us versus other countries. And like,
you can't blame that entirely on politics. I mean, politics is part of it, obviously, but it's also the system that we were willing to tolerate.
Which I suppose is political in and of itself at its core. But yeah, it's not just current politics. It's historical politics in this country that has set us up for this. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. It's been interesting. I'm hoping some positive things come out of the knowledge that we've gotten from this. My cynical self says that's not going to matter, but.
Well, you know, that's something super interesting.
My hopeful self says hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting to comment on is we've talked before on this podcast about one of the consequences of the last 4 years of political turmoil in this country is that I've really struggled to maintain faith in my fellow citizens. And one of the, I think, unappreciated, at least for me, unappreciated outcomes of that is that it's made me really cynical. And a lot of the actions that I see, whether you're talking about, you know, health development or COVID issues or politics in this country, it's like I've just become deeply cynical and then, like, assuming the worst. And I never was like that before now.
I never was either. And I don't always. I mean, I'm still a pretty positive person in general. But, like, there is a lot more cynicism mixed in with my attitude about things now. And Steve always jokes. He does this, like, Palpatine voice and goes, "Welcome to the dark side." Whenever I say something super cynical.
It's supposed to be funny, but it's really true.
I mean, It is. Yeah. Because I'm definitely supposed to be the positive one in this relationship with my husband, and he's the cynical one. It's not good that I'm moving to the cynical side of things. So
we'll just blame Steve.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't think it's Steve's fault. I'm pretty sure it's 2020's fault.
So in the... I actually haven't been paying attention to this all that closely, but I'm curious. You and Steve are both in the education fields. Are you guys earlier in the vaccine distribution groups?
So theoretically, Steve should be earlier because he actually is student facing. I don't know if that makes a difference, if it's just like the whole scale school systems will be prioritized regardless of what your position is in the school system, which then might prioritize me. I'm not sure. We haven't heard anything. Theoretically, teachers should be more like higher up in the level. So, but I'm not sure. So I guess we'll see.
Okay. I'm presuming I don't go into schools, the general population. So.
Yeah. I mean, my job, like my actual job, if people are examining what I really do, I shouldn't be prioritized because I don't see students. I don't have to go to school buildings. I can do my job without being in a school buildings. I mean, to better do my job, I would like to be able to go into school buildings, but I can technically do my job without doing that. So we'll see. I'm not sure. But I would think they might not nitpick that much. They might just say, like, school system employees, here you go.
I mean, if PASS is any precedent, you know, they've been immunizing, you know, janitorial staff and other staff and even like accounting staff in hospitals and things like that because they interact with people who interact with patients. So like, you know, you may not directly be student facing, but you're, you know, only one or two people removed from that and you're still in the system.
Yeah. I mean, I work with student facing people all the time. Exactly. So at like, yeah. So if we're going to be doing any face-to-face sort of trainings and that kind of stuff, I would be with a variety of people from all of the different schools that are student facing. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, we'll see. I'm not sure. Right. We have not heard anything yet. And then I'm confused how this vaccine rollout works because Steve and I both don't work in the state of Virginia. He works in DC and I work in Maryland. So I don't know how does that work if they're rolling out by job. Am I getting immunized through my job or am I getting immunized in Virginia because I'm prioritized as an educator in Maryland? So I'm a little confused how that rollout's going to work.
That's asking for a lot, Sarah, of organizing things.
Right.
You should know better.
Exactly.
See previous conversation about cynicism.
That's why I kind of am like, whatever, someone will tell me to go get a vaccine at some point and I will go do it. So
same. Yeah.
Whenever I'm told it's my turn, I will go get my shot. So, yeah. Well, theoretically I will. I can now. So I also need to go get my flu vaccine. I haven't done that. So
I think I did. I think I got a physical back like in September or something like that. Cause I realized if I didn't, I was going to miss out on a contribution to my HSA and I haven't, I haven't left the fucking house. So I haven't thought about going to getting a physical at all. See previous part of the conversation. And I'm pretty sure unless I'm just making it up, which again, 2020 is completely possible. I'm pretty sure I got a flu vaccine in September, but I don't really know.
I definitely know that I have not had it, so I probably should go get it at this point. I had just not gotten it, and then I couldn't get it for a little bit, and so now I'm back to being able to get it, but I'm waiting until I'm 100% healthy again to go.
That's fair.
Yeah, to go get shots. I'll tell the story. It's like as we get into this year, but I've been poked and prodded a lot in the last 3 weeks. So going to get another shot doesn't sound a lot of fun.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
I'll tell you the one casualty that I am a little bit sad about from 2020 is the sanity of our two cats. I think having Jerry and I home 24/7 for the last 9 months has completely ruined our cats. I can't tell if it's ruined mine or
made them better.
The answer is probably yes.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. It's made them more codependent than they previously were. That's exactly what it is. Pretty freaking codependent.
So. Yeah, they're simultaneously more codependent and more frustrating. Because they're also like competing for our attention.
Oh my God, especially, I don't feel like Chico woke me up a million times a night as frequently before we were home all the time. Now he just like, is like, oh, you're sleeping? Oh, it's time to play. And then I want to go to sleep. When you're wide awake, that seems like that makes sense.
It's a recipe for an early
But we did
death.
Successfully. We broke Skinny Cat of the peeing on the floor thing. So that was the success of 2020. She pees in the box now. She still poops on the floor, but she pees in the box. I'm going to take it.
Take it as a win.
She also went to the vet last week and she had lost a pound. So we were kind of worried, right? But she's also 20 years old.
She's 20?
Yeah, I think we just figured out she must have just turned 20 because she would have been, this makes sense. We got her in like November or something and she was, so her, 19 or 20, it's unknown. Wow. She's a rescue cat, so it's hard to say.
How did you break her of this bad habit?
She got locked into the bathroom for over a month with a litter box and some food and water. We would let her out, right, like to play and stuff, but then we would lock her back in there when we weren't around. Hmm. Or if I was not able to pay attention to her. So yeah.
Amazing and she that eventually that worked.
Yeah. And she's fine now. She goes in the box. So she also gets a treat every single time she even looks like she's gonna go into the box. So now she like gets in there and she stares me down like I'm getting my treat when I'm done. So sometimes she gets in there and doesn't do anything because she wants her treat. But I don't care. You have all the
small
treats you
price
want.
To pay.
If you're going to pee in the box, I'll take it. I am fine.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so they were worried about her weight loss. And so they did a bunch of tests because thought it was hypothyroidism. The vet calls me and is like, this is the healthiest, 19, 20 year old cat that I've ever seen. Like she's totally healthy. She said, we don't know about her gastrointestinal system because this doesn't test for that. And I don't know about her lung function because she just growled at me through the entire appointment.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but she's super healthy, which is great. But she's all matted and stuff because she's old and doesn't do as much anymore. So she's not taking care of her fur. So she's got tons of mats. Well, we took her in to get groomed the other day.
Sure, that went well.
She growled and she hissed and she tried to bite and did. So she got sent home from grooming and did not get done. So, so right now we just like attack her regularly with a mat brush and we're hoping to take care of most of it ourselves.
Let's get some scissors.
Otherwise she's going to have to get knocked out and groomed while she's unconscious, which doesn't sound great. So
depending on how mad you are at her, it sounds wonderful.
Seriously. I mean, I'm a little afraid to do too much because she's also 19, so her skin is really thin. And, like, you know, I don't want to cut her. So we also have to be super careful with what we do. So
fair enough.
Oh, my God. It's like fighting with a toddler.
Sunset is only 6, but I would like to murder her more often than not these days as well.
I have similar feelings in the middle of the night when Chico is, like, yelling from across the room. No one cares that you have to poop, Kat. No one cares. Just do it and go back to bed. No one cares. You don't have to put on a show.
Sunset has developed this really annoying habit where I have to scoop the box before she'll use it every time.
Oh, so she just Skinny like is sort of sits prissy and like yells that too.
Until I scoop the box and then immediately goes and uses it. I'm like, well, then what was the fucking point, Kat? It's not clean.
Because she wanted it to be clean before she walked into it. She didn't want to get her paws dirty.
This is why people get dogs.
Seriously, though. Although then you have to get up and take them out and stuff, and that's different.
Yeah, but they do what you tell them to. I'm learning that's the difference. We got cats because we were traveling to work and we were doing all this stuff, and it, like, you know, we couldn't take care of a cat when we were non-COVID times. And now that we're in COVID times, like, I want a dog. I want to replace these for it. Can I up, like in Animal Crossing, can I upgrade to a dog?
That's funny. That's great. Oh my God, I know. The cats are going to be like, what is happening when we go back to work? They're not going to understand at all.
Yeah, not at all. So we'll see what happens, but yeah.
So. Jeez. So, who knows when that's going to even happen? So
it's true. Any other thoughts on 2020 and moving into 2021?
Well, it's just this year has been so strange. Like, I've been reflecting on this year, and I'm like, well, I want to simply say, like, this year just sucked. And while that is true, I mean, there are good things that have come out of this year. Like, you know, we see previous conversation about work from home. It's been nice to spend time with my husband. I got married this year, so that's a positive. I mean, there's obviously the many tears and things that went into that wedding of trying to figure out how to do that in a pandemic and having to let go of my, you know, dream of, I don't know, having people at my wedding. I got to have my family there and my family and my friends made it beautiful and it was gorgeous and it was so much better than I ever could have imagined a pandemic wedding being. But I still, you know, grieve the loss of like all of the photographs that I would have of me with my friends and like dancing and, you know, getting to have the big day with all of those people. And, you know, bachelorette party and things like that. A lot of things got missed. And so I grieve that, but also I'm happy. So it's, you know, 2020 is just such a mixed bag. And then we had some really tough stuff happen here at the end of the year. We were, we've been trying to have a baby and, we have had two miscarriages here at the end of the year, which have been tough. We had them right in a row. One was easier. It was earlier. And then just had one 3 weeks ago. And we were 8 to 10 weeks along at that point. And so that one has been a bit tougher, both physically and emotionally. So
I'm sure
end of the year has not been amazing. but you know, I'm back in pretty decent health now, just waiting for my hormones to figure themselves out. And, you know, it was a bit more dramatic than I wanted it to be. We made some decisions about how we were going to deal with it when we found out that it was, you know, going to happen. It was just sort of crazy because we went to the doctor, nothing was wrong, and just found out that, you know, baby wasn't growing. And so we decided to have surgery instead of waiting for it to happen naturally. But then because of COVID, everything was backed up and surgery didn't get scheduled for 4 or 5 days. And my body decided it didn't want to wait that long. And so ended up in the ER the day before we were supposed to have surgery, in the middle of the night, because I was in so much pain. That's so awesome. Yeah, it was pretty bad. That was not even within a bad situation, the decisions, you know, making decisions and stuff, it still didn't, it was more dramatic and more awful than it needed to be there for a bit, but we are on the mend. We're a couple weeks out from that ER visit and I'm feeling a lot better. Just getting poked and prodded a lot, getting blood drawn to until I, you know, my hormone levels get down and we figure out what our next steps are going to be. So, you know, we have a lot of decisions to make. I'm 39. And so probably that's part of the problem. So probably going to see more doctors, specialists, figure out what we can do. And
more poking and prodding.
More poking and prodding and that kind of stuff. But, you know, we can get pregnant. So that's exciting. It's just.
That's not a trivial milestone. Really, it's not.
Yeah. No. So fertility is a big issue for a lot of people. And we obviously don't have problems with that. So I am grateful for that. So I'm trying to stay on the positive side of things there. So we'll just figure out how we can manage to not just get pregnant, but stay pregnant and end up with a baby. So I'm putting that out there for 2021, as putting good vibes out into the world that 2021 is going to be the year that happens, hopefully. So
nice.
Yep. So, but yeah, that's been a pretty shitty ending of 2020, but it's been a lesson in, like, you know, sometimes you just got to focus on yourself and what you need to do and not worry about too much. And so I've let go of a lot of things and let other people take control of some stuff that I would have normally controlled. And, hopefully given myself some time to do a little reset here before 2021. So.
That's Jerry was showing me a meme late last night, and it was meant to be funny, but I think it's actually really profound. It was saying, you know, 1918 was when the Spanish flu happened, mm-hmm. and, you know, the world was deep in a pandemic situation just like now, 100 years ago, you know, from 1918 to 1920. And then all of a sudden we had the roaring 20s, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. the meme was joking, saying, well, no wonder we had the roaring 20s after people were in a pandemic lockdown for all this time.
Seriously. Like,
and it made me think, you know, are we going to have the roaring 20s again? Because people are just so ready to go out into the world and be happy in a way that they haven't been for at least a year, if not a lot longer.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I kind of, I'm trying to think about, I was thinking about that today when I woke up, and I was thinking about this conversation and, you know, just kind of deciding I was going to at least make an attempt to cut through my own cynicism and look forward to a roaring 20s.
I think that's good. You know, like, this year has been, while I'm also super grateful for a lot of things this year, like, and I think you can probably say the same thing, we're super lucky in this pandemic. I mean, we both, you know, have steady jobs. We were able to continue working. You know, in fact, I've saved money because of this year, because I'm not driving everywhere and going out as much and all of that kind of stuff. Right. So there are some, I'm just incredibly lucky that, you know, I've thought about, like, what if I was in a job that I would have lost? What would we have done? Like, we would have not been able to stay in our apartment. And there's just a lot of things. So I know I'm incredibly lucky. So, I mean, but at the same time, it doesn't negate the sadness of 2020 either. Like, both things can be true at the same time. But yeah, I am grateful for a lot of things in this year, and I'm with you. I think I'm looking forward to the recovery and the happiness that will come with us being allowed to, like, leave our homes and see people and have fun again.
Same. Agreed.
Yeah.
So. To the recovery.
To the recovery.
Well, here's hoping that 2021 brings more fun and more of an enjoyable life, and, you know, more of us podcasting, right?
Yes, exactly. Here's hoping.
We'll finally get our shit together and do this more productively.
Yeah, maybe 2020, but that should be our New Year's resolution, is, like, stop being terrible at scheduling times to record and, like, be more purposeful about this podcast.
There you go. So, well, in the meantime, as always, you can get in touch with us on the socials, Facebook and Twitter. And you know them at this point. And yeah. They're in our bio. You know, I hope, you know, it's New Year's Eve right now. I hope you and Steve have a wonderful New Year's.
Thanks. I hope you do, too. I know it'll be quieter than it normally would be, but I'm still excited nonetheless.
Fair enough. And I'm going to go check out the Star Wars video games.
Oh, excellent. Do it. Do it. Video games is a great way to get through quarantine. Yeah. I'm not even a gamer, and I've played so many video games.
Video games for 2021.
There you go. I like it.